Michael Marsh. And then Amy Hill, Andy Caldwell, Lisa Lurie.
Mr.
Yes.
Can I ask a question? Is everybody getting 2 minutes now, or are they getting?
No, they're getting 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. I had thought that the early people were getting 2 minutes and everybody else was getting three. Okay.
So. Not with the number of cards we ended up with.
Right.
And those were people that had to leave.
You're the chair.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Michael Marsh, M-A-R-S-H. I'm directing attorney of California Rural Legal Assistance in Salinas. We represent our farm workers and other low-income people. Most of our clients earn between $12,000 and $15,000 a year. They are in a very vulnerable, precarious position in terms of their housing, in terms of their employment, in terms of their educational opportunities. And really, they're the innocent victims in this water battle. They're the people who have the most at risk. They're the people who are going to suffer the most because they have very, very limited options. They can't afford bottled water. They can't afford home filtration systems, water testing, and most of them can't move anywhere unless it's to chase a crop from one county to the next. So those are the people who see this as a very urgent issue, and I've sat here all day long. This is the first time I've been part of this process. My organization is going to get a lot more involved in this process. And I just don't hear the urgency in people's voices, and I really expected to hear a lot more urgency. I think this is something that we have to do. We have to do it now. And I urge the board to pass the proposal by the staff. And then just on a personal front, I live very close to Upper Carr Lake. I run around it two or three times a week. I run along with my boys on Gavilan Creek and on Natividad Creek. And it's very, very hard for me as a father of a 6- and 8-year-old to explain to them why they can't touch the water. Don't go in it. Don't touch that. Don't splash in it. And it's very difficult. And I look forward to the day that I can let my boys play in those two water bodies. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh. Amy Hill, Andy Caldwell, Lisa Lurie, Thomas Versick.
Hello, my name is Amy Petre Hill. That's P-E-T-R-E, space, capital H-I-L-L. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm on the Board of Trustees of the Unitarian Universalist Legislative Ministry. We even have a cool shirt. We're a statewide organization of Unitarian Universalist congregations, bringing our voice to public issues we feel strongly about. And this is one that our members, particularly in the Central Coast, have told us is vital. So I've driven down here to give testimony on behalf of another board member who's a pastor in Santa Barbara who can't be here because of a pastoral issue. She needed to do what she needed to do. So I'm going to go ahead and just read this, and then I'm going to provide it to the secretary so they have it. This is from Reverend Julia Hamilton. She is a minister at Santa Barbara UU Church, which is a very large UU congregation. To the members of the Central Coast Water Board, water has been an important issue in the lives of those of us on the Central Coast. Every so often, we have the opportunity to take action in such a way that ensures future generations will continue to have access to this precious resource that we must all share. Right now, there are people in our communities who have no clean drinking water due to contamination of local wells from agricultural runoff, particularly nitrates. There are people spending nearly 10% of their income on safe water. The present health risks are bad enough, but the situation will only get worse unless some reasonable action is taken quickly. Soon you will be deciding on whether or not to require the monitoring and protecting of groundwater quality in our communities. Currently, those who create this pollution are not required to bear the costs. Farmers do not have to monitor the levels of nitrates that are runoff from their fields. And if a well is found to be contaminated, the community members, often low-wage workers in the same fields that produce the pollution, are required to bear the brunt of the cost of the new well.
Ms.
I'll skip to the last
paragraph. Could you
paragraph?
Give us your concluding
sure.
sentence?
Sure. As communities of faith, we want to be able to purchase produce and not feel bad that other people in our community are being harmed in its production. Thank you.
Thank you. Andy Caldwell.
Thank you, Chairman Young. Caldwell, C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L. I represent the Coalition of Labor agriculture and business of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. We have about 1,800 members. We probably employ about 60,000 people. We represent most of the farmers in the region as part of our coalition. I want to get back to the beginning. The charge is the highest reasonable water quality. And certainly, any areas where people's health is being threatened should be the priority of this board. And it's hard for us in the public to understand if hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent in grants, why that money didn't go to those vulnerable populations. In terms of if your staff knows what needs to be done, how come they haven't been doing it for the last 10 or 15 years? There's a question as to how to do this. There's a question of how do you accomplish this. It's one thing to promulgate rules. It's another thing to figure out how to do it. If it was easy, it would have been done already. If it was easy, it would be being done all over the state of California, and you wouldn't be the first. The question is, what's reasonable, what's achievable, and how do we accomplish that? The ag community has hired an expert that's actually been doing this kind of work, and he was here to tell you it's not easy, but we're willing to try. But your staff has been pushed the ag community away in different ways. They've closed the record, when in reality, the ag community was trying to respond to questions from your board as to, well, we need more details. They provide the details, the record is closed. Work with us. What is reasonable? What is achievable? Focus on those areas that are the highest threat first. Capture the rest later. Ask your staff how they can prove what they want is achievable. It's easier to talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Lisa Lurie, Thomas Versick, Marilee Hyman, Richard Quant.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Lurie. That's L-U-R-I-E with the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary. Sanctuary staff appreciate the time and energy that all parties have committed to solving the challenge of improving water quality. We believe there are examples in the proposed order that allow for the regional board and industry to work together. Specifically, the staff proposal allows approved third-party certification programs as a means of demonstrating Tier 1 low-risk status. Additionally, dischargers may comply with the order by participating in third-party groups approved by the Water Board. Ag industry groups have proposed a similar coalition approach using third-party audits to verify practice implementation and effectiveness. We are pleased to see flexibility for a certification-based coalition approach in the staff proposal, as it offers a means of resolving many issues. We encourage the board to provide clear guidance, either within the order or through other means, as to the standards that such coalitions and certification programs must achieve in order to be approved. There are existing examples to draw from, such as the SIP program, protected harvest standards, the sustainability index for specialty crops, and the fields to ocean program. Both the staff proposal and the ag proposed coalition approach point towards a potential role for third-party auditable certification programs. We encourage agreement to employ such programs, and the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary stands ready to help in the collaborative development of an ag water quality certification program as a tool to strengthen accountability and transparency in demonstrating regulatory compliance. The staff proposal provides an opportunity for certification programs to incentivize water quality improvement and reward innovation. Clear guidance to define what constitutes an acceptable program will provide the assurance that the regional board is committed to a successful outcome. This is critical for industry and interested partners to move forward in confidence to develop a meaningful certification program.
Thank you for your comments. Thomas Versick, Marilee Hyman, Richard Quant, John Texera.
Thomas Versick, V-I-R-S-I-K, from the Law Office of Patrick Maloney.
No, I can't hear you.
Thomas Versick, V-I-R, is this better?
Yes.
V-I-R-S-I-K, from the Law Office of Patrick Maloney. Thank you. Chair and members of the board and staff, I'm going to cut to the chase. It would be wrong for you to ignore the report from UC Davis issued last night. I'm going to give you two independent reasons, and I'm going to do it in 2 minutes. The first independent reason is on page 11 of that report. And we submitted a letter on this, but I understand you don't have it at this point because your staff needs to make a determination whether you're allowed to look at it. On page 11, Dr. Harder, the author, recites the purpose of SBX 2, and it includes a report for you guys for this purpose. We quoted in our letter, your board by name. The other, it's a gift. The legislature, the governor, is giving you a gift. It's giving you a whole separate analysis to use. You get to use your staff and Davis. So you can lose credibility or you can take it. The second reason, because this has come up, you have every legal reason to accept this, and I'll give you a citation. Western States Petroleum Association versus Superior Court, 9 Cal 4th, 559. You'll look at the last page. There's two factors, only two, timeliness and diligence. I'm timely. The report came out last night. I'm diligent. I'm here. So a court's going to make you take a look at this, or you can do it yourself. I have about 5 seconds. That's wonderful. Sorry to be so short, but you give me 2 minutes, I'll take them. Thank you.
Merrily Hyman.
Honorable Board, I'm Merrily Hyman, H-Y-M-A-N, speaking as a concerned citizen. Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure how we got here, but it's shameful that you brand all of our valued farmers as polluters, guilty until they prove themselves innocent at their own time and expense. Further, you impose an unfunded mandate for information that can be used against them. We all need data. We struggle to get it. But previously, your own staff admitted in writing that they cannot analyze the data that you already have or the health department data, much less this new mountain of data that you require. I carry three comments from Mike Broadhurst, a farmer and a RAC colleague. First, your staff still insists on a one-size-fits-all in that it punishes farmers in non-polluted watersheds. Growers would have been more receptive if the proposed regulations concentrated on the areas with problems. We growers cannot easily pass on these increased costs. Food companies will just go elsewhere. Second, the amount of paperwork your staff generates is hard on individual farmers like me. I don't want to hear, well, it's in the last draft. I'm sorry, but I have a job producing food, and it takes pretty much all my time, 7 days a week. Third, there's a long chain of responsibility for what ends up in the water, but farmers are easy pickings. The vast majority of us do follow label directions and minimize the use of fertilizers and pesticides. In closing, I urge you to consider your impact on the local farmer and ag economy. Heavy-handed, costly relations created in a vacuum of theory should not be the approach of the governing body. To be effective, your order should be realistic, attainable, and affordable. Farmers do want to help. Figure out how to best to use it cooperatively. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Quant, then John Texera, Joy Fitzhugh, Kevin Merrill, Bill Thomas.
Thank you. My name is Richard Quant. It's Q-U-A-N-D-T. I'm testifying today on behalf of the Grower Shipper Association of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo Counties. Our organization represents strawberry and vegetable growers, some of whom will be in Tier 1, others will be in Tier 2, and others will be in Tier 3. The underpinnings of your entire order is basically the criteria that has been established to establish the tiers and whether or not the requirements, the substantive requirements, are proportional to the threat of water quality due to the placement within each tier. And I'm here to submit that I don't think that process has taken place. I think the tiers are more of an enforcement tool to direct enforcement against larger growers and don't necessarily reflect the threat to water quality. Earlier today, the highest priority in terms of addressing water quality was nitrates into groundwater, is what I heard. To achieve that goal, farmers will need to develop irrigation and nutrient management plans. Under the staff proposal, based on the estimates of that I heard today, there would be a total of 61 farms in the region that would be required to develop an irrigation and nutrient management program. The good news is under the Los Huertos Ag Alternative, assuming 70% enrollment of tiers 2 and 3, you would have 1,153 farms working to develop irrigation and nutrient management programs affecting 176,000 irrigated acres in this region. That's going to result in improvements in water quality.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Texera? Joy Fitchie?
Good evening, Joy Fitzhugh, F-I-T-Z as in zebra, H-U-G-H. And I am a very small orchardist, but more importantly, I'm the legislative analyst for the San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau. And I really like following Mr. Quant because he pretty much said what I want to say. It is the base on, we need to deal with the base on threat to water quality, not size. And obviously my 1 acre of orchard is not in size. But I also feel that I want to let you know that our ag members, which is well over 1,000 in our county, are supporting the ag alternative and with the Los Huertos. And we feel very sure that this system, we need the cooperative system, and this system is the one that will be able to help get our water quality back to where it should be. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is Mr. Merrill still here? Kevin Merrill? He had to leave. Okay. Bill Thomas? And then Lisa Bedraghi? Bedraghi? She's here? She can correct me. Okay. Go ahead.
Bill Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, Mr. Chair and members. I represent Ocean Mist Farms and RNC Farms, two of the large vegetable operations in the lower Salinas Valley, Castroville, and areas. We have been frustrated for some time that we have been squandering this time period before us. We've had meetings with Mr. Briggs and staff, and those meetings showed that there was real opportunity to find some middle ground. More recently, the Marks study, even some things that Steve Shimbick has advanced in Sacramento. I mean, there's a lot of promising things out there, and I think we all share responsibility that we're now in front of this board where you have a very tough decision, I was gonna say to make today, but I guess tomorrow, and to adopt this severe staff proposal, which will just kick this to the state board, or find a way to find some last-minute opportunity here. The problems in the staff report with tiering, we know which tier we're in. We're large vegetable growers. There's no way to get out of the tier three. The monitoring the field water right when it leaves the field within a prescribed period of time of the use of your insecticides is just a way to target the insecticide. Tile drains, which were supposed to come out of this order at one time, keep getting back in it. That's a major problem. The nutrient limit, certainly nutrient management plans are appropriate. You should know the amount of nitrate in your water and in your soil. You make that determination of your need. That's appropriate. That's asking for proper management. But this goes beyond that and puts a limit on the amount of nitrogen you can use. That's making the management decision. That's beyond your capability. The ag alternative can easily be merged in here. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Dr. Hunter.
Can you hear me? Question to staff. That's the second time today we've heard the reference to tile drains being included, and I saw in the staff report that that those issues or tile drains specifically have been removed. Can you clarify that for me, please?
See, it's late in the day. Let me try and get my head wrapped around this.
Speak up.
So tile drains, there's a couple things that we clarified. One, in the misconceptions section of the staff report, as well as what's in the order. So first, let me go to the staff report. We've received many, many comments that stated that the draft order states that growers can no longer use tile drains. That is incorrect. It's inaccurate. There is no place in the order where it says you can no longer use a tile drain. What the order does specifically say about tile drains, one is it states the intent that the need to make improvements in tile drains is into the future. We're not prioritizing addressing impairments caused by tile drains immediately. What it does also say is that we have to start better understanding how tile drains contribute to our water quality impairments. So there are two places where we put requirements related to tile drains. One is in the cooperative monitoring program. We stated that the sampling analysis design had to be such that we could evaluate the contribution of water quality impairment or improvement from tile drains. And two, if a tile drain exists at the discharge on a particular property, that would be included as part of the individual discharge monitoring for a Tier 3 discharger. But there is no stated requirement that you cannot, that would affect the use of a tile drain.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I ask a follow-up to that?
Sure.
Very briefly, to me in simple English, what you just said was tile drains are allowed just like they always have been. And like any other discharging mechanism, they need to be monitored. Is that approximately what you said?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Lisa Bedraghi, then Danilou Ramirez, and Randy Sharon, and Gail Pratt.
Thank you, Chairman Young. Lisa Bedraghi, you did very good. Most people don't do quite so well, so I appreciate it.
Well, it's the R here that you didn't really.
Oh, I did. I was in a hurry this morning, and I had all the time in the world had I known. It's Lisa Bedraghi, spelled B as in boy, O, D as in dog, R-O-G-I. And I'm the Government Affairs Coordinator for the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance. We represent 500 members comprised of wineries, growers, hospitality partners, and related businesses. We are all stakeholders and drink water and eat food, and we do consider wine as food. The wine industry here in San Luis Obispo County contributes $1.8 billion locally and pays more than $86 million in local and state taxes. The wine grapes are the highest economic contributor and agricultural crop in San Luis Obispo County. And for this reason, our organization has made a concerted effort to work with our local governments, neighbors, and communities to expand education, awareness, and collaboration on matters that affect our industry. While we appreciate the recognition of the SIP certification program developed by the Central Coast Vineyard Team, we also remind your board that there are other programs, including the California Association of Wine Grape Growers Code of Sustainable Wine Growing Practices, UC Extension, University and Research Development Programs, and Resource Conservation Districts, who all play a vital role in water quality management. We do support the ag alternative as a and question why this third-party audit concept is not as better received because it is basically a grower-based approach, which as are these other certification programs. I see my light is on, so I will conclude with my last sentence, which is, if you eat food or drink water, you have an interest in creating common ground and public-private partnerships based on sound science and a collaborative mindset to obtain long-term sustainable results. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Ramirez? Dana Lou Ramirez from Driscoll Strawberry Associates? She went home. That's too bad. I like her raspberries. Okay. Randy Sharon? Gail Pratt? Richard Sadowski? Jeanette Watson?
Randy Scher, Scher Brothers Farm, Santa Maria. I'm also the stipulating landowner representative on the Twitchell Management Agency. Santa Maria is a adjudicated basin. We do monitoring of groundwater, which we put in our annual report, which in about 6 weeks, we will be having public hearing on our health, quality, and quantity of the Santa Maria Basin. So we do already monitor groundwater and make it public in Santa Maria Basin. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Gail Pratt? Richard Sadowski? Jeanette Watson? Bob Campbell?
Richard Sadowski. That's Sadowski. I'm a concerned citizen in Morro Bay, a certified wastewater collection system operator. I have a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, and I was a first responder on sewage spill emergencies. One of the things that I think that should be considered is that when you have urban areas near outlining ag lands, taking a very careful look at the wastewater collection systems as a nitrate source. For instance, in our Morro Basin aquifer, a predetermined conclusion by local city staff was trying to blame farmers about a mile away while we have huge sewage collection lines, 15-20-inch collection lines leaking sewage right into the Morro Basin aquifer. I did a report that I had submitted to your staff years ago, and follow-up data has shown that our conclusions are more likely that it's from sewage than it is from ag land. So, and regarding staffing, I think that the regional board should really consider staffing and having inspectors closely have protocol on how they're going to be doing their water sampling. There's some issues regarding how samples are taken. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Jeanette Watson? Bob Campbell?
Is this close enough? Good afternoon. My name is Bob Campbell, and I am a third-generation grower in the Central Coast here, small family operation. And I raised my kids, and now our grandkids live on the ranch and drink tap water out of the well. And so I, too, am interested in clean groundwater. So that's not the issue. I think it's how we approach it and how we get there is the problem. And I think if I were a board member today, after hearing some of the speakers talk about the cooperative efforts that are taking place around the state with agriculture and some government, quasi-government agencies, some of the environmental groups, I guess I'd be asking, why aren't the farmers and the growers willing to work with our staff? And the answer is your staff, and it's about mistrust. I heard them just today, and I've attended all these hearings for a number of years, and I go home without fail just totally frustrated. I heard them sit here today and whine. By the way, diplomacy is not one of my strong suits, but I heard them whine about the 3 to 4 years it's taken to get here. Well, I would hope something this big and this complex would take whatever time it takes so we get it right the first time. And I quite frankly am not happy with their attitude about this. Our coalition representatives got up here today to try and clarify why our proposal will work, and they sat there and tried to throw roadblocks and not allow them to even present that information. They talked about individual well monitoring, and they're going to give a general location to the public of where that well might be, but the owner or the exact location of that well will not be made public. No reasonable person buys that argument or that statement. That information will become public, and individual growers will be faced with certain groups targeting them because of some issues that they may or may not have. I've got so many notes here, I'm not sure where to stop, but, oh, sustainable agriculture. Your staff talked about what a great program that is, and went on to say that that's not a government-started program. That came from agriculture. Well, that's great. So when agriculture presents a proposal to you about helping and taking a leadership role in water quality improvement, they poo-poo it, and they've done it from day one. So please consider what we've proposed to you because it can work. It's worked in other areas, and it will work here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Miriam Hickman, Sarah Dameron, Abigail Solis, Dana Pearls, Rose Francis, Maricela Morales, first name, go ahead, and you are?
Just take this off. Hi, my name is Dana Pearls, last name P-E-R-L-S. I'm a community organizer and policy advocate with the nonprofit organization Pesticide Watch Education Fund. I specifically work on the Central Coast and work with over 200 community organizers and community members who are concerned about the contamination of pesticides in their air and groundwater. All of these people I've been working with specifically on the issue of methyl iodide, of which your board has been very supportive, in fact wrote a letter encouraging against the registration of methyl iodide, specifically citing the fact that you're already concerned enough about the contamination of groundwater and surface water in the Central Coast. I want you to think about the issues that have been raised today with a lens of public health. Think about not just the costs to agriculture, but of the lives of thousands of people in the Central Coast. Think about the costs, the impacts that it will have on health clinics and schools. Should people drinking their groundwater, drinking the surface water, playing in the water, be impacted by the pesticides, by the nitrates, which affects their body neurologically, cancer, thyroid disease? The list goes on and on. You're very well aware of this, of the risks that happen when contaminated with public by pesticides. I want to encourage the board to take a vote on this waiver, to not wait any longer. It's been way too long, and the longer you wait, the longer these impacts will have on community members. The staff has done a very good job at the report thus far. It's flexible. I think that this report can take into consideration the importance of monitoring and evaluation of groundwater and of surface water. Don't weaken the pesticide regulations. We want monitoring. We want regulations and enforcements. And furthermore, we want transparency. We want this information to be publicly accessible. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Rose Francis, were you a prior?
I was, yeah.
Didn't get up here fast enough. Which one?
Sarah Dameron. Okay. There was somebody before me, though, so I was thinking maybe she was
that's
that person.
Fine.
I apologize. Sarah Dameron, D-A-M-R-O-N, for the Surf Rider Foundation. Surf Rider Foundation, all one word. Good evening, Chair Young, board members. We have five chapters here in the region, and the SLO chapter actually could be here tonight, so I'll be speaking for the other four that can't be here. We wish to comment on the order because improvement of coastal water quality is the issue upon which our organization was founded. And, of course, some of the most toxic water bodies in this region, the Salinas River and the Santa Maria River, actually empty out to the ocean, forming sandbars, which our members surf. And obviously, there are many other beneficial uses in these coastal watersheds to consider as well. But we wanted to point out that this board is tasked with protecting the waters of our region to support all beneficial uses, and that regulating, you are also tasked with regulating dischargers whose discharge could impact these beneficial uses and water quality objectives. We urge you to keep these duties in front of you, in front of mind, and to overcome the pressures that may attempt to steer your focus elsewhere. Your staff has provided ample evidence documenting the severe water quality issues faced in the Central Coast and irrigated agriculture's contribution to these impairments. It's up to you to choose to implement a program designed to address impairments and the most likely contributors to the impairments, which would be high-risk farms, or to continue to be dissuaded from taking action altogether and to perpetuate the continued pollution of our waters. While we continue to support individual monitoring of farms and ranches because we believe that is the most effective way to pinpoint pollution sources, we appreciate that the latest draft does still require individual monitoring of high-risk discharges. That said, we do support the waiver, the proposed waiver right now. We urge you to adopt that tomorrow so that we can get back on track and begin working towards the next five-year waiver. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Rose Francis, and then Maricela Morales, Karen Arawo, Reverend Lindy Ramsden.
Good afternoon. Is this Rose Francis? That's F-R-A-N-C-I-S. I'm an attorney with Community Water Center, which is a nonprofit organization based in Tulare County. And I'm here today to represent impacted communities that currently lack safe drinking water here in the Central Coast, as well as those that are at risk of future contamination of their drinking water supplies. There's a number of parallels between the large agricultural regions of the Central Valley and the Central Coast region. So I'm the attorney for a number of small public water utilities in the southern San Joaquin Valley. And these water providers serve economically disadvantaged and largely minority farm worker communities in the southern San Joaquin Valley. They're run by all-volunteer water boards. The board members are residents of the communities that the public water systems serve. And all of the small public water systems in the state, both in the San Joaquin Valley and here in the Central Coast, are held to strict regulatory standards to protect public health, including the submission of data and numerous reports to regulatory agencies on an annual basis. I can attest that it's an onerous burden, but it's one that they are largely capable of meeting. They're required and expected to possess and maintain a minimum of technical, managerial, and financial capacity to run their water systems safely and effectively. And the vast majority of small public water systems are meeting these requirements. I appreciate the burden that a regulatory program places on growers, in particular in the Tier 2 and Tier 3 regions, and in particular on small growers and minority growers. However, I believe it is disrespectful to suggest that they are not capable of meeting basic reporting requirements to protect public health. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Maricela Morales?
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the board. My name is Maricela Morales, M-O-R-A-L-E-S, with the Central Coast Alliance United for a Sustainable Economy. And I'm referencing the definition for environmental justice provided to the board in May of 2010. And in brief, environmental justice is equal and fair access to a healthy environment, including the elimination of inequitable environmental burdens for communities of color and low-income communities. CAUSE has a history of working with diverse coalitions, including the business community. We are partnering with CSUCI, Channel Islands, on a business forum, Emerging Business Models for Businesses Integrating Social and Environmental Responsibility. So we're no stranger to partnering with the agricultural community in Ventura County and the business community as a whole. Our concern and our support is for the staff recommendation because of the environmental justice urgency. And I want to echo Mr. Marsh, who spoke earlier, about the frustration about what seems to be a lack of a sense of urgency. For us, this is an issue of racial justice. When you have communities like Chualad, which is almost 100% people of color, mostly Latino, This is more than an environmental justice issue. It's a racial justice issue. And it's really difficult to come year after year, at this point for me only 2 years, and see, quite frankly, a sea of white, knowing that the communities that are bearing the disproportionate burden are almost 75% to 100% people of color. And so I want to raise the issue of racial justice and say that enough delay, justice delayed is justice denied. It's time to make a decision, move forward. We all agree this is nowhere near a perfect solution, but we must move on to take a next step and start already from day one after it's approved with working on the next better step. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Karen?
Yeah, I can explain that. It's just a copy of a letter that's already in the record and okay.
Right. May 12th, 2010. Okay. While you're doing that, let me read off the next speakers. Karen Arallo, Reverend Lindy Ramsden, Brad Snook, Joel Wiley, Rick Tomlinson, Ron Harabin, Gwen Pelfrey, William Pelfrey, Mike Brown, Dirk Giannini. Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break.